The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Numbers. It starts in chapter 11. It's an account of the Israelites' time in the wilderness. Numbers chapter 11, starting from verse 4. There were some foreigners traveling with the Israelites. They had a strong craving for meat, and even the Israelites themselves began to complain. If only we could have some meat. In Egypt, we used to eat all the fish we wanted, and it cost us nothing. Remember the cucumbers, the watermelons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic? We all had. But now our strength is gone. There is nothing at all to eat. Nothing but this manna day after day. In verse 10, Moses heard all the people complaining as they stood about in groups at the entrances of their tents. He was distressed because the Lord was angry with them. And he said to the Lord, "Why have you treated me so badly? Why are you displeased with me? Why have you given me the responsibility for all these people? I didn't create them or bring them to birth. Why should you ask me to act like a nurse and carry them in my arms like babies all the way to the land you promised their ancestors? Where could I get enough meat for all these people? They keep whining and asking for meat. I can't be responsible for all these people by myself. It is too much for me. If you are going to treat me like this, take pity on me and kill me, so that I won't have to endure your cruelty any longer." The Lord said to Moses, "Assemble 70 respected men who are recognized as leaders of the people and bring them to me at the tent of my presence and tell them to stand there beside you." So Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. He assembled 70 of the leaders and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to them. He took some of the spirit that had been given to Moses and gave it to the 70 leaders. When the spirit came on them, they began to shout like prophets, but not for long. Two of the 70 leaders, Eldad and Medad, had stayed in the tent and had not gone out to the tent. There in the camp, the Spirit came on them, and they too began to shout like prophets. A young man ran out to tell Moses what Eldad and Medad are doing. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, who had been with Moses, had been Moses' helper since he was a young man, spoke up and said to Moses, "Stop them, sir." Moses answered, "Why are you concerned about my interests? I wish that the Lord would give his spirit to all his people and make them all shout like prophets." Our second reading is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, reading from verse 38 to 50. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw a man who was driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he doesn't belong to our group." "Do not try to stop him," Jesus told them, "because no one who performs a miracle in my name will be able soon afterwards to say evil things about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. I assure you that anyone who gives you a drink of water because you belong to me will certainly receive his reward. If anyone should cause one of these little ones to lose his faith in me, it would be better for that person to have a large millstone tied around his neck and be thrown into the sea. So, if your hand makes you lose your faith, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life without a hand than to keep both hands and go off to hell, to the fire that never goes out. And if your foot makes you lose your faith, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life without a foot than to keep both feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye makes you lose your faith, take it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with only one eye than to keep both eyes and be thrown into hell. There, the worms that eat them never die, and the fire that burns them is never put out. Everyone will be purified by fire, as a sacrifice is purified by salt. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have the salt of friendship among yourselves, and live in peace with one another. Amen.
Who is with us? In the time of Jesus, everyone and everybody believed in demons. They believed that both mental and physical illness was caused by the influence of these evil spirits. There was a common way to exorcise them by the use of the name of a more powerful name, the demon cannot stand the might of a more powerful name. So those who do get them out, they command the spirit to come out of where they are by the use of a mightier one. John had seen a man using the name of Jesus to defeat the demons and had tried to stop him. Why did he stop him? Because he is not one of the disciples. According to John, only the disciples have got the right to use the name of Jesus. Jesus heard of it and declared that no one could do such in his name and be an enemy. It means that if the one is using the name of Jesus, he's not an enemy. He's a friend. He is a believer. Otherwise, he wouldn't use the name. Whosoever is not against us is for us. We read in Numbers chapter 11 of the same thing happening when Moses selected the 70 elders. When they went to the tent, two people stayed behind. So 68 were blessed and received the power from the Lord. But the other two who didn't go there also received the power. And so when they came out, somebody, Joshua, heard the other two saying things in the name of the Lord. And so he told Moses, stop him. Stop them. They were in the tent. And what did Moses say? He said, no. I wish the Lord will give all of you, not just the 70, the power to be prophets. John's dilemma is this, and it is very classic. Us and them. Is he one of us? Let us think of the situation in which this question might arise today. It could be within a family against community. There are those who seem to get hung up on the right kind of Christianity. It could be also be between faith. There are certainly situations in which Christians struggle to view Muslims or Jews as partners. It could be between faith and no faith. Again, it's not uncommon for people to make judgments about those who choose to belong to a faith community. Any situation that is central on the judgment that someone doesn't belong fits this category. They don't belong to us. There's a lesson in tolerance. That is what the two lessons we have read teaches us. Tolerance. We have to learn. We all have our thoughts in our own minds. We all have a right to think of things. We think things through until we come to our own beliefs and conclusions. That is a right we should respect. We are often too apt to condemn what we do not understand. It is a fearful thing for any individual or any church to claim a monopoly of salvation. It's necessary to remember that the truth is always bigger than any individual's grasp of it. No one can possibly grasp all truth. The basis of tolerance is not a lazy acceptance of anything, but it is simply the realization of the magnitude of the truth itself. Toleration means reverence for all the possibilities of the truth. Together with fire, salt was an important purifying and preserving agent. A disciple's life and words should contribute to the flavor of life by their wisdom and suitability. But if we lose our Christian distinctiveness, the salt goes out of our discipleship, and we cease to be of any value to those around us. A life without Christian wisdom is as unpalatable and is liable to go bad, just as food without salt. Kindness shown, any help given to the people of Christ will not lose its reward. We are not asked to do great things for others. We are not asked to do things beyond our power. We are asked to give the simple things that anyone can give. Think of a situation in which you have basic needs by someone you did not know, and who perhaps come from a different situation or culture. There was once a missionary in Africa, and she told this lovely story. She has been telling a class of African school children about giving a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus. One day, into their village came a company of native bearers from another tribe. They have heavy sacks, tired and thirsty. They sat down to rest They were men of another tribe, and had they been asked, or have asked ordinary non-Christian native for water, they would have been told where to go. But as she watched, there emerged tiny African girls. On their head were pitchers of water. Shyly they approached and offered the water to the strangers, who were at first surprised, but they accepted it and they drank it. The girls were happy, running away, and they told the teacher, "We gave them water in the name of Jesus." How did someone giving you the equivalent of a drink of water influence your perception of them? Let's come closer to our door. In the past 2 weeks or so, the influx of migrants from the Middle East, walking all the way to Germany if they have to. They must be tired, weary, thirsty. And you see people also who are willing to offer them embrace, to offer them food and water. They don't know them from Adam. They are strangers. But they took their food and they took their water. They have a common bond. Jesus says, "Who is not against us is for us." The question is, how do we define who is against us and who is for us? Is it by doctrinal statements or what they do, how they behave? Do they speak English or they speak Swahili? Do I understand them or not? Churches, because they are organizations and institutions, need some rules and regulations determining membership, their membership, their beliefs and practice. The boundaries of any one denomination, however, are not the same as the boundaries of God's kingdom. God's kingdom is not the European community. We haven't got a barrier in Greece or Italy. is worldwide. The disciple may find support from unexpected quarters and should welcome it and not repel it. If we are disciples of Christ, we should expect and we should welcome help from others. And likewise, give help, not just to those we know, but those who need it, whether they are family or foe.